greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off with the Road to Russia 2018. And the qualifying competition for next year's World Cup football tournament. And this friendly reminder for our VOA World Cup fans, 23 of the 32 places are now filled for the Russian Football Festival. The 23 teams that have qualified for the World Cup are, in alphabetical order, Argentina, Belgium, Brazil, Colombia, Costa Rica, Egypt, England, France, defending champion Germany, Iceland, Iran, Japan, Mexico, Nigeria, Panama, Poland, Portugal, host Russia, Saudi Arabia, Serbia, South Korea, Spain, and Uruguay. Nigeria and Egypt were the first two teams to book their tickets from Africa, but three more World Cup berths are still at stake in Africa, with the qualifying action heating up again this week. In Polokwane on Friday, South Africa will host Senegal. Now, these two teams originally met a year ago at the same venue, the Peter Mokaba Stadium in Polokwane, and South Africa defeated Senegal 2-1. But World Football's governing body, FIFA, annulled the result after the Ghanaian referee in the World Cup qualifier, Joseph Lamptey, was banned for life, in the words of FIFA's disciplinary committee, for unlawfully influencing the match. So that meant South Africa lost a valuable 3 points in the Group D standings. As things now stand, Senegal tops this tight group with 8 points from 4 qualifiers. Burkina Faso has 6 points from 5 qualifiers. Cape Verde also has 6 points from 5 qualifiers. And South Africa has 4 points from 4 qualifiers. So it's basically must win for the South Africans on Friday in Polokwane. On November 14th, in matches that will wrap up Africa's 2018 World Cup qualifying competition, Burkina Faso will host Cape Verde in Ouagadougou, and Senegal will be at home against South Africa in Dakar. Our Voice of America listeners will remember the top team in the group will qualify for Russia 2018. Turning to Group A in African World Cup qualifying, either Tunisia or the Democratic Republic of Congo will book a ticket to Russia on Saturday, and the advantage lies with the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia. The Tunisians need only a draw against visiting North African rival Libya to qualify for the World Cup. The Tunisians currently have 13 points from 5 qualifiers. The DRC, which must win against Guinea in Kinshasa to have any chance, has 10 points from 5 qualifiers. Guinea and Libya have already been eliminated. Finally, in Group C, it's must win for Ivory Coast on Saturday when it plays at home in Abidjan against Morocco. The Moroccans, with 9 points from 5 qualifiers, can book their ticket to Russia with a draw. Ivory Coast, with 8 points, needs a victory to go to Russia. The veteran striker for Ivory Coast, Solomon Kalou, spoke with reporters in French in Abidjan ahead of the big game. Let's hear what Kalou had to say, and then I'll give the English translation.
On savait depuis le début que la première place allait se jouer entre le Maroc et la Côte d'Ivoire. Donc ça tombe bien, c'est une finale, c'est on joue devant notre public. Donc on a à cœur de faire un bon match et de gagner.
We knew from the beginning that the first place will be played between Morocco and Ivory Coast, said Kalou. Therefore, it's lucky that we will play the final in front of our supporters. So we are motivated to make a good match and to win. Solomon Kalou has been a major motivational force for the Elephants of Ivory Coast over the past decade. Now based in Germany with the club Hertha Berlin, the 32-year-old Kalou has made 92 international appearances for Ivory Coast and scored 28 goals. He's also represented Ivory Coast at 3 World Cups, 6 Africa Cup of Nations competitions, as well as the 2008 Olympics in Beijing, China. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. And let's take a break now for these VOA programming announcements.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me. I'm Heather Maxwell for Music Time in Africa every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000 and 2100 UTC.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
In Olympic news, climbing will be an event for the first time at the 2020 Tokyo Games. In the sport, athletes tackle walls of various heights and complexities to reach the top as fast as possible. In South Africa, some possible Olympic medal hopefuls are training at the City Rock Complex in Johannesburg. It's Africa's first international class climbing gym and one of the biggest in the world. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to this feature by Darren Taylor.
A young woman struggles up a high wall inside the City Rock gym. The colors of the athletes' outfits match those of the concrete. Royal blue, fire engine red, and mustard yellow. Everywhere there are people grunting and wheezing up ropes, trying to grab the grips to pull themselves to the summit. They use specialized equipment, like climbing shoes.
They have a nice reinforced toe with a sticky rubber, allows you to get good surface tension on your toes.
Spider-Man,
exactly. And then obviously a harness if you're going to be doing the high wall problems. So the harness you tie in with a rope, and you have a belay partner who's feeding the rope through a device to make sure you don't come crashing to the ground.
City Rock manager Kelly Bishop explains that belaying secures someone on a rope. A partner maintains tension on it, so if the climber slips, there's a safety measure in place.
So you don't actually fall, you just hang, and then obviously they lower you back down to the ground at a controlled speed. When you're climbing, you actually do better the more calm and controlled you are, and moving slowly and making sure you're safe the whole time, the chance for injury is almost zero.
And when you pull your rope, you get a figure of eight. That's your first basic.
One of Bishop's instructors shows a beginner the ropes, literally. The trainers teach non-slip knots and how to put a safety harness on. Bishop says climbing makes people very fit because it combines strength and endurance, adding muscle, but not bulk.
Because you're basically fighting gravity the whole way up, you will build to your natural body shape. It's a full body workout. You're using your fingertips, your toes, your core muscle, your upper body, even your brain, because you're problem solving as you're going. How should I move my hands, etc. So it's
Yeah. So we're like back to baby steps.
Climbers from around the world exercise at City Rock. Bishop describes climbing as a lifestyle choice practiced by a wide range of people.
We got doctors, we got lawyers, there's lots of students and school kids. Because it's so social, besides the fitness side, it's a lot of fun. You get to meet really down-to-earth people and feel part of a community.
One of them is vegan baker Pixie Fanek. She describes climbers as a special breed.
They're not to run of the more people, they're generally a little bit more aware about what's happening in the world environmentally and such. So they're much more inclined to be open-minded.
Bishop says climbing's popular with women.
Women do really well because it's not a brute strength sport. Some of the top climbers internationally are women, and you can compete with the guys head to head. It's not about how much weight you can pick up. Sometimes it's just about technique and moving your body in a certain way and not just powering over.
As hectic as it looks and sounds in the gym, yoga teacher Neon Khlapo says climbing helps her to meditate.
My heart rate tends to lower unless I'm going through some ledge fever, which is like an unexpected panic attack on the wall. But usually you don't have the room to think about anything else when you are on a wall. You're really in the moment and you're really focused.
But Nkhlapo wasn't always so composed. She describes her first outdoor cliff climb as terrifying.
I was climbing 1 minute and then I just burst into tears the next. And I think the episode lasted a good solid 15 minutes because I was like, if there is a God, God, I'll behave. Just get me off this thing.
Van Eck's battling autoimmune disease, where the body's immune system attacks healthy cells. This could lead to a variety of potentially fatal conditions, including organ failure.
I can't tell you how sick I was last year. I was in hospital. I was having an operation. I thought my life was just this big blob. Boom, I started climbing. I am a million times better. It's amazing. The only thing that saved me was climbing. I got on the wall and I was like, I'm home.
Van Eck says climbing strengthens her body and mind to fight her illness. From being overweight and bedridden, she now conquers nature's steep, jagged rock faces.
That for me is the ultimate. When you're on that rock, man, it's like being alive. Oh my gosh, there's this mountain. It's been there for millions and millions of years, and I'm getting to stick my body to it and challenge myself.
Across South Africa, people like Van Eck are using climbing gyms to boost their physical and mental health, with some using them as launch pads to possible Olympic glory. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brilafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Oh, keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way. If you keep on the sunny side of life. Oh, keep on the sunny side.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America. Joining us once again on the show is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. I understand a tragic sports story tops your trending topics.
It does. We received word yesterday that former Major League Baseball pitcher Roy Halladay was killed in a plane crash off the coast of Florida, flying a light, kind of experimental plane described by some as basically a jet ski with wings, something that is on the market for people who have money to spend, not maybe on a private plane for every, you know, day or frequent use, but something on the weekends to fly out. Was about $400,000, this model of plane, and very sadly, it crashed and he passed away. That news was announced by Chris Noko, who was the sheriff for Pasco County in Florida, which is where that plane crash took place.
It's a sad day for us here in Pasco County. It's a sad day for Tampa Bay. It's a sad day for anybody who loves Major League Baseball, but it's an even sadder day for the family. And I ask that you respect his family. I ask that nobody go to his home. Please give them time to grieve. They deserve that.
And it is indeed a sad day for baseball. Halladay was not just beloved by fans, but was one of the great talents of the game. An eight-time MLB All-Star, a two-time Cy Young Award winner, which is the award given to the best pitcher in each of Major League Baseball's two leagues, the American League and the National League. In fact, Halladay was one of only six pitchers to win the award in both leagues. He won it first with the Toronto Blue Jays of the American League and then with the Philadelphia Phillies of the National League. We're seeing tributes pouring in on social media from Major League Baseball officials, coaches, players, and fans. And among all of the words being used to describe Halladay, competitor, teammate, talented, family man, friend, we're seeing one word used again and again and again, and that word is Doc. Doc was Halladay's nickname. Fans called him Doc Halladay, similar to Doc Holliday, the famous gunslinger from the American Wild West. And certainly he had an arm that he could sling some baseballs very well in his career. In fact, on the official social media channels for Major League Baseball, they've posted a video from October 6th, 2010. It's the first game of the National League Division Series that year between the Philadelphia Phillies and the Cincinnati Reds. And in that video, we see Halladay throwing the final pitch of the game, completing a no-hitter. It was only the second time in Major League Baseball history that a pitcher did not allow any hits in a postseason game. And MLB posting that video on social media with just one word, Doc. So that term being used to describe him, Doc Halladay, lots of fans remembering him by that name. Also on the official Major League Baseball social media accounts, we've seen become a kind of social media memorial for people to post their memories of Halliday, and the MLB Twitter account retweeting a lot of these folks, a lot of these former players, current players as well, who are remembering Halliday. Albert Pujols, the great player, saying, "My prayers go out to the family of Roy Halliday. He was a fierce competitor between the lines and considerate friend, husband, and father off the field." Cole Hamels, who was a fellow MLB pitcher and Halliday's teammate on the Philadelphia Phillies, said, "When people ask me if I could relive any moment in baseball, I always say that I would want to be able to watch Doc pitch again. Today, my heart goes out to Brandy, who is Halliday's wife, and his sons. He was a great husband, father, friend, and teammate. Such a special man. You'll be forever missed." And Chris Carpenter, a pitcher who played with Halliday on the Toronto Blue Jays, writing that, "We grew up together. We went through good times and bad times. He was an amazing pitcher, competitor, teammate, and friend. I have so many memories with him and his family. I will miss him." So you see those terms used again and again: competitor, teammate, family man, friend. Really not just a great baseball player, but someone who was really well-respected and well-loved and well-liked throughout all of Major League Baseball. And it's not just limited to baseball, Sonny. We have Chauncey Billups, who played 17 seasons in the NBA, writing that, "Here with a heavy heart for my fellow Coloradan, Roy Halliday's family." Of course, the two of them grew up in the state of Colorado. And Carl Anthony Towns, center for the NBA's Minnesota Timberwolves, writing, "R.I.P. to Roy Halliday. When I played baseball, I always wanted to pitch like Doc." So really throughout the sports world, we're seeing all kinds of tributes coming in for Roy Halliday.
Andrew, we heard from the Pasco County Sheriff and circumstances surrounding Doc Halliday's death still not clear. However, he did become a pilot after his professional baseball career, which brings into play his experience as a pilot, whether he had the experience to get out of a difficult piloting situation. His father was a pilot. I think he was a commercial pilot, so he had a love of flying.
Yeah, and once this story came out, a name that I saw multiple times on social media was Corey Lytle. Corey Lytle was a pitcher for the New York Yankees who died in a plane crash about 10 years ago, where he was flying in fog and ended up crashing into a building in Manhattan in New York City. So a lot of people talking about that. It's something that a lot of players do once they retire. A lot of players, have hobbies, and one of the big ones is flying. And unfortunately, sometimes that leads to these tragic instances.
And that also brings to mind a couple other great players from Major League Baseball, Roberto Clemente and Thurman Munson. They both were killed in plane accidents. So Doc Halliday, just the latest.
Yes, and only 40 years old, so really a life cut tragically short, just out of his Major League Baseball career. Looking forward, I'm sure, to a long and happy retirement, and sadly that's not to be.
Anything else trending, Andrew? We have about a minute left in the program.
Well, we move now to Scotland in Glasgow, where two of the big male tennis players were at an exhibition match honoring UNICEF and a Scottish children's charity. Andy Murray, the most famous Scotsman in tennis, and perhaps the most famous man in tennis, Roger Federer. Now, when in Scotland, you do as the Scots do. So Federer donned a kilt. He joked, "If there's a kilt around, I'll put it on." There was, and he did, and he won his service game wearing that kilt. So somebody said he's setting another record, holding service wearing a kilt for the first time. Andy Murray, not to be outdone, put on the traditional Scottish Tam O'Shanter hat and a red wig to wear underneath it. But in the end, Federer seems to have won the fashion showdown and the match, 6-3, 3-6, 10-6 in a tiebreak in the last set. But a nice exhibition match for them, and a nice little way to honor the people of Scotland.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny.
And that wraps up the November 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Cornelius Tenner. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The U.S.-led global coalition has achieved great successes against ISIS on the battlefield in Syria and Iraq. We celebrate the coalition's gains on the ground, but, notes U.S. Coordinator for Counterterrorism Nathan Sales, we also have to be mindful that ISIS is adapting, and it's going to be up to us to adapt along with them.
Every square kilometer of territory that's liberated means women and children and men who no longer have to live under the oppressive false caliphate that ISIS has tried to construct. The success that we're having, though, against ISIS in Syria and Iraq doesn't mean that the struggle is over. It simply means that the struggle is entering a new stage. And that new stage is one in which ISIS might be sending operatives across the world to carry out attacks. Another related problem is people who may be inspired by ISIS to commit attacks.
Homegrown terrorism is a threat that is on the rise, and it is one that we are going to be focusing on, he said. The United States and its Global Counterterrorism Forum partners recently announced new initiatives to address threats posed by returning foreign terrorist fighters and by homegrown terrorists. Two separate programs seek to effectively assess the motivations and sympathies of returning family members and to explore the factors that drive people to become homegrown terrorists and identify them before they can strike. The United States and the Global Counterterrorism Forum also endorsed new recommended strategies to counter radicalism online.
Well, ISIS spreads a message of hatred, a perversion of the tenets of Islam. It's essential for us, and it's essential for our partners around the world, to counter that message of hate and intolerance and violence. So we have to work with not just other governments, but civil society organizations, religious leaders, community organizers, and private citizens who are in a position to effectively rebut these false claims.
The U.S. will continue to adapt and work together with its partners within both government and communities to realize a world that is secure against terrorism.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali. Join me on Straight Talk Africa every Wednesday as we discuss topics of special interest to Africans, including politics, economic development, press freedom, health, social issues, and conflict resolution. Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.